Okay, conference is now being recorded.
All right, thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the November 6th PhoneBridge Workshop on Traveling Abstinently. We're happy you're here. My name is Judy Kay. I am a compulsive eater, and I will be the moderator for today's workshop. Please, everyone, join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Thank you, everyone, and please remember to mute your line again by pressing star 6. Let me begin by giving you an overview of the workshop. This is a 2-hour workshop. We have a panel of 7 experienced CEA HOW members, including myself, who have all traveled abstinently. They'll be sharing their own stories of how they've traveled abstinently on business, to see family, on a cruise, nationally and internationally. So this will give you ideas about traveling abstinently, especially as we approach the holiday season. Each speaker will talk for 15 minutes and then leave their phone number and name and time zone. And after the speakers, we'll have some time at the very end for a question and answer period. So write down any questions you might have about traveling abstinently, and they can be addressed later by the panel members. This will be recorded and available on a recorded line and on the website. Our panel consists of CEA HOW members from all over the country, and their names are Roberta, Janan, Steve P., Jill T., myself, Judy K., Nanette, and Lucille. Please remember, as I said before, to keep your line muted so that we can have a quiet workshop. We ask God to direct us on the workshop and always be with us at home and as we travel. And now I'm happy to introduce our first speaker, Roberta, who will speak on traveling abstinently on business. Roberta, take it away.
Thanks a lot, Judy. Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta here in Orange County, California. Just to qualify really quickly, my date of abstinence is January 31st, 2007. So by the grace of God, this coming January, I will hopefully celebrate 5 years of back-to-back See How abstinence. I had been in our sister program for 2 years before coming to See How, so I've been practicing using the 12 steps to control my eating disorder for almost 7 years now. By the way, I had lots of slips in the other program, so I have a lot of firsthand experience with that. I am maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. I am 5'6". My highest weight was 215 pounds. Yesterday for my weekly weigh-in, because I'm on maintenance, I weighed 145 pounds, which is my goal weight. So I am maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. My highest size was size 22, and today I'm around a size 8. I am a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor, but I do not have any current openings. I will leave my name and number at the end. So I want to tell you about how I travel abstinently, but I want to first comment on a couple things just to keep this in context. First, I'm in sales for a living. I work in the financial services industry. So my territory are large financial institutions on the West Coast, but many of these clients have offices in other parts of the country and sometimes around the world. So I do travel a lot. I am probably on the road 50 to 60% of the time, often in airports. In any week, I'm gone usually 2 to 3 days, not every week. So that's the first thing. Secondly, because I travel for my company, I'll be very frank, I have sometimes less of a concern for cost about my travel expenses than if I was traveling myself and had to pay for it, because, again, my company reimburses me for food and lodging. So keep that in mind, that I'm not saying that anybody should do what I do. I'm just sharing my own experience, strength, and hope. Next, I want to clarify that even as I was getting ready to think, what am I going to talk about today? All the stuff I do today, I clearly did not do all the stuff when I started. This has really developed over time. rest, and it's very much now a part of my recovery, I'm happy to say. It's very natural and very comforting. So for any of the things you hear, don't feel like you have to do any or all of these things. You know, God worked in me gradually over time. So if there's one or two things that you take away, I hope it's helpful. And with that, let me start. So how do I travel abstinently? And the first thing is, I'm going to kind of try to do this in light of each one of the tools, because I am abstinent not just because I follow the See How Food Plan, but because I follow all seven tools: food plan, literature and writing, anonymity, telephone calls, meetings, service, and sponsorship. I practice those every day, whether I am traveling or not. So certainly the food plan is a big part of it, but it's only one. So I'm going to probably do my best to address all of this in the 12 minutes we have remaining, because I'm timing myself. So in regards to the food plan, basically in the same way that I make sure I have abstinent food to eat at home, I need to make sure that I have abstinent food when I travel. And the key part of that is planning. And I literally work backwards. So, for example, when I call my food into the sponsor, for me personally, I always call my food in a day in advance. So when I called her this morning, I said, here's my food for tomorrow. And then I make sure that, well, gosh, that's what I've committed. Do I have all the food ready and prepped for that day? And it's just the same as when I travel. When I know I'm going to be traveling tomorrow, I know, okay, well, what do I need to have? I need to have, you know, 4 ounces. And by the way, since this is a workshop, I am probably going to mention specific food. So, again, I know I need to have 4 ounces of chicken at this meal and an apple and a half a cup of oatmeal. So I ask myself, how am I going to get that? And it's usually going to be a combination of things I bring with me, maybe things that are difficult to get while I'm traveling, or some things that I buy at a grocery store, which is where I'll have to go when I arrive at my destination, or some things that I plan on ordering either at the hotel or the restaurants when I'm out, which means I always have a portable scale and a measuring spoons with me. So I first start, again, with what do I want the outcome to be? What are my meals going to be? And then I work backwards. So let me give you on a high level what that means. First of all, I always need to make sure when I travel that I have a rental car when I'm traveling somewhere so that I can drive to the grocery store when I arrive. Now, if for some reason I can't or I don't get a car, that means I'll have to take a taxi to go to the local grocery store, or it means I have to walk to the grocery store. Now, one of my stories about that is I had a sponsee several years ago who was really – I live in Southern California, and so did my sponsee. And she was really worried about going to New York on vacation. And I said, why? And she goes, because all the places around my hotel, they only have – and then she mentioned several food items. And she said, I'm really worried. And I'm like, well, you can get other food. She goes, no, there's only these places around that have this bad food. And I'm like, it struck me that there are regular people in New York who eat regular food from regular grocery stores. Surely there must be something around there. And sure enough, she went, and she said, you were right. There was a grocery store right around the corner from the hotel. And I was like, yep, there's, you know, regular people that live in places. So pretty much everywhere I've been, at least here in the States, there's a grocery store not too far away. It also means when I travel that I make a point to stay at a hotel that has a kitchen. Now, most of the fancy hotels that I used to stay at have very nice beds, nice carpets, nice bathrooms. But the truth is, even though the rates were very high, they rarely had a kitchen. And even the little refrigerators that they have in the room were stuffed full of food that were very expensive and that I can't eat abstinently. They're all kinds of sugary, flowery stuff. And I wish I could, I'm glad, I'll say it this way, I am glad that I no longer have to dread going into hotel rooms where there was all this free food, because I used to eat it. I just used to eat it. And that was true even when I traveled on a plane. Sometimes I would have enough frequent flyer miles and be upgraded to first class. And they give you all this free alcohol and nuts and food, and it was part of the experience to eat the food. And it was horrible. I would just gain weight when I traveled, and I don't have to do that anymore, and I'm so grateful. And why is that? Because See How gives me a boundary. No flour, no sugar, no alcohol, and quantities are limited. There are certain things I can have and certain things I can't, so I get to follow my food plan even when I travel. So anyway, I make sure that I stay at a hotel that has a kitchen. And what's interesting about these suites, there's a number of suites available now, a little hotel suites that have kitchens. that have full kitchens and supplies and pots and pans and dishwashing machines, and often they are half the price of the fancy hotel room. Typically, a fancy hotel room when I travel on business, and these aren't super fancy, but they're more expensive than I would spend if I was traveling myself. They're like $150 a night. And most of the hotel suites that I stay at are like $79 a night. So I get more services for less money. Now, sometimes that means I'm also not staying at the same hotel as my colleagues. Oh, are you staying at the such and such? I'm like, no, I'm at the such and such place. And they go, oh, and that's it. I can live with that. So it also means when I travel, again, I take stuff with me, like my toolkit. I have a little black knapsack I take, and inside is a digital scale that I can put on the table and set to zero, put a plate on it and measure my food. I have measuring spoons. I also have a paper and pen to write down, okay, now how many vegetables did I have with my appetizer? Okay, that was 5 ounces. And then how many does that leave me for dinner? Okay, because otherwise, if it's like 2 or 3 measurings, I can get lost. So I have paper and pen ready. I also bring with me sometimes a can opener, and that's only if I'm going to be having food that needs to have a can opener, like garbanzo beans or canned salmon or something. So to summarize what I just said, when I first make my reservation, I choose a hotel suite that has a kitchen, and I also try to find one that's maybe close to a grocery store, and I call ahead of time or I go online, and I also make sure I book a rental car. And then when I pack my knapsack with my toolkit, on my tools, and my husband even says that, you got your tools, a can opener, and I may bring storage stuff to store food while I'm at the hotel, maybe large Ziploc baggies, plastic spoons. Sometimes when I go on vacation, I have brought with me Tupperware bowls and cooking materials that I take in a separate suitcase where I go to my B&B, so I have everything necessary for me to prep abstinent food for the 1 or 2 weeks that we're there. And yes, airlines are going to charge me maybe $20 or $25 for each additional bag, but I'm willing to pay it because, and even if it's on my dime, I ask myself, how much is your abstinence worth to you, Roberta? And the answer is priceless. So I am happy to pay $25 to ensure I'm abstinent even on holiday. So on a typical day when I travel, the night before I will have prepped my breakfast, whatever I'm having for breakfast, I put it in a baggie, separate baggies, and that could be oatmeal, chicken, vegetables, whatever, my apple, I put that in a baggie, and I put my lunch. I put my lunch, which is usually 16 ounces of vegetables in a large Ziploc baggie. I usually have my measured ounces of chicken and a teaspoon of olive oil, and I've had no trouble bringing that through security at airports. So, now, in regard to the proteins that I have, if I'm going to be on a plane, I try to be sensitive to make sure I don't have any smelly food. So I'll typically have chicken, and I'll be honest with you, too, and this may be something you say, I'm not going to do that, but when I leave in the morning, I'll have chicken for lunch in my bag, and it will sit out for a couple hours, and I eat it anyway, and I haven't gotten sick. But I recognize not everybody wants to do that. So other protein options could be 2 hard-boiled eggs. They travel pretty well, and they're only a little bit smelly when you take the shell off. For sure, when I'm on a plane, I do not bring any protein that is canned fish. No salmon or tuna on a plane. Cheese usually travels okay, the 2 ounces of cheese. Soy nuts, we're allowed 4 ounces of soy nuts. That's a protein. That's a good choice. Legumes are a good choice, like garbanzo beans, 8 ounces of garbanzo beans. However, I do rinse them really well in water when I take them out of the can when I'm prepping it at home. That helps reduce the amount of gas they create in my system. Now, if I'm going to be traveling in a car by myself in Nebraska, having gas, me personally, is not a problem, especially if I'm by myself. But if I'm on a plane for 4 hours in the middle seat of aisle 25 of an overcrowded plane, I'm going to try to avoid bringing any food that causes me gas. So, or worst case, if I had to add inside the airport, once I pass security, I can always buy milk and have my 2 cups of milk. So again, that's what I usually bring with me. And then I just eat it. I eat it on the plane. When I do eat my lunch on a plane, I tend to not bring everything out. I put everything in a plastic grocery bag. I have on occasion brought like a Tupperware bowl, but everybody sees it and makes comments about it. One time I remember I brought a really big apple, a big apple with me, and I remember a guy walking down the aisle saying, that's the biggest apple I've ever seen, and everybody turned and looked. And so ever since then, I either bring smaller apples or I cut up the apple and put it in a Ziploc baggie and nobody sees it as much. So anyway, just a small comment too. I did a workshop at the CIHAL conference a couple years ago, and if you're interested in finding out more about my vegetables and how I prep them, if you go out to the CIHAL.org website, go under Member Services and select audio downloads under the 2010 annual convention. And again, there's a workshop there called Joyfully Preparing Workshops and Finding Recovery. And that's a point I do want to mention. Everything I'm talking about here is really the logistics, the superficial stuff. But the reality is, this is really a spiritual program. I need to rely on God to do all this, because the truth is, if I'm in the food, I have 90% of my thoughts on food and not about God and my fellows. So I have to work this program to stay in contact with God. So those are, I just have 2 minutes left. Those are a couple of high-level comments about the food itself. Let me comment a little bit on our other tools, literature and writing. I make a point to make sure that I always do my writing and literature even when I travel. So when I travel, I bring my daily journal with me where I write down my food and my writing. Plus, if I'm reading from something where my questions are drawn, maybe the Big Book or the 12 and 12 or As Bill Sees It, I will either bring the book or I'll take photocopies just of the pages that I need, and that helps limit the amount of luggage I have. Let's see what else I wanted to say on that. I think that's the literature. In regards to anonymity, again, I try to practice anonymity every day. Don't always get a lot of opportunities, but they come along. Telephone calls. I'm still required to make 4 calls a day, whether or not I am traveling or not. And what I've actually found is the telephone calls are incredibly comforting to me. Often when I'm traveling on business, I'm in a strange city or going somewhere and I'm a little bit lost and worried, and I'm lonely. And I have made wonderful outreach calls and connected with people, and so I'm grateful for that. So telephone calls are a big part of my recovery. Meetings. I also make it a point to go to meetings, even when I travel, to make sure I'm on the phone bridge. Sometimes when I've been on a cruise, for example, there are no meetings because I can't get on because I'm out at sea. But I people have told me about what they've done, which is you download other meetings from the internet, and you can I listen to them while – so historical meetings I've listened to while traveling. Service, I continue to have a service position no matter where I'm at. And sponsorship. I make sure that I call my sponsor every day, and usually I have my sponsees call me every day, even when I'm on vacation, unless this last couple times I've been in Canada where the phone charges are really high, and I did ask them while I was gone for a week or two to have a temporary sponsor. So I've kind of done both. I prefer to have them actually call me because I need it and they need it, but we're both flexible. And with that, I think that's my 15 minutes of fame. And so let me end here with just, again, my name is Roberta. I'm a compulsive eater. My number here in Orange County, California is 714-299-9721. That's my AT&T cell. Again, Roberta, AT&T cell, 714-299-9721. And I'm actually going to have to drop off the line, so I won't be available for Q&A, but I will look forward to listening to all the speakers later on. Judy, thanks for asking me to speak.
Thanks so much, Roberta. That was a great share. Our second speaker is Janann, who will speak on Traveling Abstinently is Not a Vacation. Janann, take it away.
Hi, Judy, and everyone on the line. I am Janann, and I want to qualify a little bit. I live in Oklahoma, but my new life began in CIHAL February 19th, 2009. I have shed 136 pounds. I've been in maintenance since May of 2010, so I have 2 years, 5 months, and 14 days of abstinence. During my time in CIHAL, I have traveled abstinently to Las Vegas twice, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Yellowstone, the Grand Teton, Sequoia, and Yosemite National Parks, College Station in San Marcos, Texas, Mazatlan, Mexico, Hawaii, Tallahassee, Miami, and Sanibel Island, Florida, Denver, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Colorado Springs, the New England states, and Dallas numerous times. I have met the challenge of taking abstinent food into 5 different football stadiums And these are stadiums where individuals are not allowed to bring in any food or drink of any kind through security. When I was a rookie in CHOW, I also traveled to New Orleans, where I learned my hardest yet most valuable lesson in the pitfalls of travel. That is where I had a slip in May of 2009, and that is when and where I came to realize the extent of my defiance and my need to completely turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understand Him. I'd like to let you know up front that I will be mentioning specific abstinent foods in my share. Traveling abstinently is not a vacation. It's an away game. Yay! I'm a big sports fan, so here we go. The pregame warm-ups, I'm worth it. I was raised thinking that I should not be a bother or cause trouble. I was never to be demanding or insist on getting my way. Asking for my needs to be met was discouraged because, bottom line, my needs were less important than others. And I was taught to go with the flow and adapt. Otherwise, I would be labeled a spoiled brat. This upbringing led to lots of guilty feelings and very subversive, manipulative ways of managing my life and the people around me. I had trouble even identifying my true needs and feelings and became very dishonest in my behaviors. CEA How is teaching me to honor God by honoring myself. I can still be spontaneous, adaptable, and go with the flow if it's in my best interest to do so, but learning to take care of myself and ask for what I need is my top priority. Why? Because if I do nothing else today, I must love myself enough to be abstinent. That is the first step for me to the spiritual recovery I am seeking. And that is why I've adapted the mantra every day, but especially when I'm traveling, I'm worth it. Now the conditioning. Attitude is everything. I'd like to refer to page 13 under the in the fourth bullet down on page 13 in our Forever Abstinent booklet, and it says, do not depend on others to maintain your abstinence. You must empower yourself. I accept that I have a disability. I need and have a right to special accommodations because of this disability. My son, he has a service dog, and that dog goes with him everywhere, even in restaurants. If someone told my son that he could not bring his dog with him to a restaurant, I would be on the defense. I would demand that his needs be met. So why is my handicap less important? Of course, he has the federal government backing him up, but I have God in my huddle, which gives me confidence and empowers me to do the right thing. It may take going to any length, being fearless and thorough, and fighting like heck, but I'm worth it. So I have the mindset of a winner when I travel. When our eyes are on the goal line, we still have to get that first down to stay in the game. So sometimes we get there just 1 yard at a time, one step at a time. And there will be times of discomfort and challenges. I may get sacked or blindsided, and nobody says that this program, this simple program, is easy, because it's not. It's a difficult program, but most things in life worth doing are difficult, at times at least. So if you put on your helmet and your pads by using your tools and learning the playbook by walking the steps and face down your opponent by being fearlessly honest, there is a way to stay abstinent while traveling. And with God calling the plays as our quarterback and our sponsors being our trainers and guiding us as our coaches and our fellows blocking and covering when we fumble, the opponent won't look so opposing. We are going to score touchdowns, extra points, and put those traveling experiences in the winning column if we stick to the game plan. And besides that, it's going to be great, great fun. So here's the game plan. The warm-ups. You got to watch the films and read the scouting reports. Travel begins before you leave home. Before you leave home. Recovery requires footwork. So if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So don't assume. Be prepared for change. Have backup plans. Have backups for your backups. When you're choosing restaurants, you can look at menus online. You can call ahead to talk to the chef. But be sure if you call ahead, call before the rush hour. They won't have time to talk to you while they're preparing in the middle of their rush hour at their restaurant. But figure you will not get the food you need because the time will come, maybe not till the last quarter, but eventually you will get intercepted. So count on it. Learn to have the waiter repeat back your order to you is one of the main things I've learned when ordering at restaurants. We have a lot of special requests. We come through those quickly to a waiter. They can get confused, and I've had this bad experience of them bringing me the wrong food or not bringing me what I needed. So have the waiter repeat your order back to you in a strange restaurant where people don't know you and you don't know the menu well. Also, you can request a refrigerator and a microwave to be in your hotel room. I've done this many times in if you don't ask for them, they don't provide them, but oftentimes they have one or the other. Sometimes they charge for those. So I haven't done this yet, but I've considered buying my own refrigerator to later donate to a local CHA group or the Salvation Army when I was ready to leave town. Okay, your first play from scrimmage is to find the nearest supermarket and get fresh food. It's a very important component. You'll need that. And then there is no I in team. So find members and meetings in your area before you leave. Make sure you keep track of your cell phone minutes also or your hotel phone charges. On my trip to New Orleans, I racked up a $350 cell phone penalty before I realized it. So this is when I signed up with Skype. For $2.95 a month, I can use the internet for unlimited calls to landlines. And that's the call line I'm using right now and use every day to get on the phone bridge. So next thing is keep abreast of the newest game strategies. You can download workshops and speakers. I've done this to my MP3 player as well as my laptop so that when I have no internet or phone reception, I can have a meeting. Also, texting for outreach is an option because when phone service is spotty, often a text will go when a phone call won't. Also, take a little extra money because although you're likely to save money when you're not out there binging, you may want to order an extra side of vegetables or eat at a nicer restaurant that serves higher quality food. But also be sure you tip well because you are extra work for the wait staff. And remember our mantra. You are worth it. Taking food with you in your equipment bag. You can go through security at an airport. If you want the details, go to www.tsa.gov to get the details for this. But you can take almost anything through that's not a liquid or a spreadable item, such as peanut butter. Must be 3 ounces or less and fit in a quart-sized bag. But any liquid also has to be 3 ounces or less and fit in a quart-sized bag. But any other foods can go through. I've taken all kinds of things through security. Just a little tip, drink lots of water. Dehydration and the inactivity of just sitting around in the airport and traveling, sitting a long time can shut down your system. I found out from a fellow CHA member in my trip last summer about an herbal tea called Smooth Move. It is by Traditional Medicinals, and it was really helpful to get my system moving because you do eat more processed foods. You can avoid them as much as possible, but you're going to bloat up and you're going to get stuck up probably. So I hate to be so graphic, but that was one of my big issues while traveling. Be practical. Use pre-measured items. Take proteins that won't spoil. Roberta mentioned a lot of these, soy nuts and cheese sticks. Vegetables that won't spoil or any vinegar-based things like pickles, or you can make a vinegar-based coleslaw. Raw vegetables, wheat germ, have some of that with you. Dried fruit or apples pack well. Also, after you're through security, you can get more food to take on board with you. There's almost always a grilled chicken salad out there at one of the restaurants past the security point of the airport where you can get what you need. Also, I wish that Seehowers would start a national campaign to get V8 juice in every airport. It seems ridiculous to me that it's not there. I did find it in the Tallahassee airport for the first time when I traveled in September, so maybe things are changing there, but I think if we all did a campaign, maybe we could get that to happen. Also, you can take items in your checked bag that need refrigeration by just putting them in one of the heavy freezer Ziploc bags with gel ice packs on each side, and they will do really well through the traveling in your main suitcase. I noticed when I packed a bunch of food, packed canned foods and such things, that they often did open my bag for security purposes, but that didn't bother me any because that wasn't on my time. You're going to need more equipment. You're going to need in your equipment bag, you're going to need literature, your forever abstinent book, your portable scale and measuring tools, your questions. One of my friends in our program locally downloaded CDs of the Big Book and the 12 and 12. I put those on my computer so I don't even have to necessarily carry those books with me. And also have your 911 plan in place. Locate and pre-warn someone that you might need to call them in an emergency. I know I hear people announce on the phone bridge often that you can wake them up in the middle of the night and call them. I have two or three names like that. And so locate those people and have them ready to take a call if you are in some sort of stressful situation. Also, I'd like to say just seize the opportunity to make a big play, because you might just use the airport layover time as an opportunity to exercise and walk. You could ask God to use you in some way unexpectedly. You could trust that there's a purpose for everything that you encounter on your trip. You could be in the moment, available to experience the trip. Enjoy your abstinence. And you're not in the constant food frenzy anymore, so it's going to be more fun. You can laugh and let go. And one little thing I've found to be so true, it's okay to be hungry for a little bit. It just won't kill you. So remember that you can use a prayer and a glass of water, and it's amazing what miracles that will work for hunger. And remember that prayer is a service you can give. So when you're praying or you're halting, you can find God in those things too. And above all, just let go and let God, because traveling is exhilarating fun. The post game would come like this: relish the victory. When you get home, assess your injuries, review your experience, and I found that through awareness I can learn the lessons that God's provided for me through my trip, and maybe then I won't have to relearn them the next time if I learned them well the first time. I can stay ready for new and different challenges. So be aware of the possibility of a letdown when you get back home, because for us, the next game starts the minute the first one is over. So remember, it's one game at a time, one play at a time, or maybe even 1 yard at a time, but you're worth it. I'm Janann. I'm your sports fan in Oklahoma. My number is 405-447-7441, 405-447-7441. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janann. Great game plan. Our third speaker is Steve. He will be speaking on traveling abstinently while visiting family. Take it away, Steve.
Thank you, Judy Kay, and thanks to Roberta and Janann, and thanks to everybody else on the panel who's going to be sharing, and those who will be participating by asking questions at the end of the workshop. I just want to welcome everybody who's new to Compulsive Eaters Anonymous. If you're new on the line, welcome, and we're glad you're here, and hopefully you'll be able to gain some of our own experience, strength, and hope as you start working the See How program and stay abstinent, regardless of whether you're traveling or you just stay at home. Either way, we hope this program does for us. Just to briefly identify again, my name is Steve. I'm a compulsive eater. My abstinent date, is July 21st, 2004. That's 7 years, 3 months, 15 days of back-to-back abstinence. And that July 21st, 2004 date, it's the only abstinent date that I've had here at CA. How I came to my first meeting July 20th, 2004, and started the program the very next day. And, excuse me, as a result of working this program day in and day out, no matter what, I've been able to accumulate the days that I have one day at a time. And I'm going to be echoing probably some of the things that have been said, but hopefully I'll give you some new information as well based on my own experience, strength, and hope here about traveling and visiting family in particular. When I had about a couple months on the program, I had to go visit my family up in San Francisco. Oops, somebody else wants to share? Okay, please press *6 if you're not participating at the moment. Thank you. And I had to go up to visit them. Judy, you want to mute the line?
Judy, we can't hear you.
Okay, thank you. I had to go to San Francisco to visit my family, and I hadn't told anybody in my family that I was working the program because I wanted to surprise them. I was going up for a sort of a family reunion sort of thing, and I went up there and went to my folks' house where I was going to be staying. And I walked in. My mother almost didn't recognize me because the weight loss at that point had been somewhat substantial. I think I'd lost by that point, over the first few months, lost roughly about 60 pounds, and I'm maintaining 115-pound weight loss altogether right now. And, excuse me, and when I walked in, so that's what I was doing, and so I sat down and explained to my father what I was doing and told him that they didn't have to worry about my food while I was visiting here. And I brought everything with me, and I was all prepared for the weekend and for the dinner that we were going to and so forth, that I was taking care of my own food and had been for a few months now. And my mother said, there's nothing I can make for you. There's nothing I can do. And, you know, rather than try to explain thoroughly this program to people that may not be a compulsive eater or have the issues that we do with food, strictly with sugar, flour, and excess quantity, don't understand weighing and measuring, don't understand things we can eat, can't eat. I found three simple words early on that my sponsor had given to me to share with family members. That was no, thank you. So when I tell people that I can't have it, people a lot of times want to look at that as a challenge and say, of course you can have it. You know, you just don't have a lot of it, you know, or you have a little bit of it, you know, or, you know, I'm your mother, you know, I've always cooked this for you and you tell me you're not going to eat it, you know. Or you go to another family member's house and they say, you know, you're not going to eat this. I prepared this meal for you, or this food for you, or this dessert item for you. You know, it's a special occasion. You know, you're here visiting us. Surely you can do this for one day. And surely I can't do it for one day. My evidence of compulsive eating has shown myself, as well as others, that I can't do it for any period of time, being off and on eating things that I think I should or shouldn't, you know. I found a way that works here, and I stick with it. And so I said, no, thank you, you know. And that's the way it's been, you know, since, with the exception of just a couple of meals, when I ate in a place called a restaurant, going in the program for a couple of my meals, I have eaten all of my food prepared by myself. And that's one thing that differs me from at least the first two speakers, and this is not to say that they're right and I'm wrong, it's just we all have our own way of doing things, is that I don't eat in restaurants. When they say, let's go out to this restaurant, we know you can eat there, we got an idea of what you can have, you know, surely you can put together a meal at this restaurant. And my response is, no, thank you. I'll go to the restaurant with you, I'll sit there, and I'll talk with you, but other than that, I won't eat anything. And they say, you sit in the restaurant, we'll eat it. Well, let's not go then. And I said, that's even better, you know, because I prefer not to socialize with food today. But if you really want my company and you want to talk with me, you want to visit with me, you want to do something with me, let's do it without the food, you know. Because when I'm with people and I see how they eat, they're more concerned about the food, you know. Go to a restaurant, people want to know when's the food coming, how long is it going to take, so on and so forth. And I just don't want to have to deal with that sort of thing today. And so I don't. And that's just my own personal choice. You know, I went to visit my folks. They came down to where we live, and they were out maybe about 100 miles from at a resort from where we live. my wife and I went out there. And before we went, my mom and dad said, you know, we know you won't eat with us. Is that right? And I said, that's right. That's still the way it is. And they said, no problem. You do your meals, we'll do our meals, and we'll get together other than at mealtime. And it worked out great, you know. And, you know, with that kind of understanding, I can visit family just about anywhere. You know, I've gone visited family all around the country. You know, most recently, back in July of this year, we went out and visited my older son and his family out in Abilene, Texas, of all places. It's a very small town in Texas. And I stayed abstinent there. The first thing that I did when I got there was go to the local supermarket, get some of the things we wanted, made sure he had a room, a refrigerator, and a microwave so we could put some things together. And we have a scale, and we weighed and measure everything. Mm-hmm. I've even weighed and measured at a Thanksgiving dinner with family, you know, where we went and I had some stuff there, and I started putting my stuff together, and I had my scale, and put my food together. And people go, you're weighing and measuring? And I said, I always weigh and measure. This is just what I do. Nobody else has to do this. And my so one of my sister-in-laws was just appalled. She said, it's Thanksgiving. Surely you don't have to do that stuff now. And surely I do have to do it now, you know. And I just laughed and went on. And didn't give it a second thought. You know, the program of ours has got to be able to work exactly the way that it works at home. It works the exact way when I go visit family. If not, I'm working two different programs, or maybe even three different programs, or maybe even four different programs. And that's way too many programs for me to be working. You know, I work the CEA HOW program, and I work it day in and day out the exact same way that I do at home, I do when I visit family. You know, my wife happens to be in the program as well. And one of the things that drives my father and mother nuts sometimes when we go visit them is that the phone calls that both of us get, and that we're always on the phone, it seems like. And my father one time turned to my wife and said, what would happen if you didn't answer that phone? And she said, I don't want to find out. My father didn't understand that answer, but I did. You know, I don't want to find out what it means to miss a phone call when somebody's making an outreach, when a sponsee is calling. I don't know. I don't want to find out what it's like when, you know, I don't call my sponsor for a day or two or three because I'm quote unquote visiting my family. I don't. My family time is very important. You know, I don't want to miss my reading and writing because I've got to spend time dealing with the family. You know, this program saves my life day in and day out, and it's got to save my life when I'm visiting my family. Otherwise, my family becomes more important than the program. And if there's one thing I've learned in this program of ours, is that abstinence has got to come first. It's got to be the most important thing, no matter what. And, you know, as I tell people, the hardest place to work this program is when you go and you visit family, because that's when the old behaviors and the old way of thinking and the old way of doing seems to want to raise its ugly head the most. You know, and I can revert back, you know, to the way I was as a kid, to the way I was as an adolescent, to the way I thought I was treated, the way I thought I should be treated, and so on and so forth. And I can start justifying and rationalizing bad behavior instantly if I'm not careful. And therefore, I've really got to work this program, you know, just as much as when I go visit family as when I do when I'm home. And it starts by making sure I'm doing all seven tools even when I'm visiting the family. I can't afford to miss a tool when I'm visiting the family. And, some of my family members have gotten used to it, and others of them prefer not to, quote-unquote, be around me. And that's okay. I can live with it either way, you know. And they know that, when we come up there to visit, they go into a restaurant, they have a question. It makes no sense, you know. Having a big family dinner get-together and so forth doesn't really, you know, appeal to me anymore these days, you know. But visiting the family, seeing the family, hanging out with the family, talking with the family, socializing with the family, those things are very important to me. And I like doing those things. I continue to do those things. But I won't celebrate with food. I won't socialize with food. To me, it's no different. Being with food that way, it is no different than dealing with the way I used to drink and socializing with alcohol. You know, those sorts of things make no sense, because what happens is that if you're an alcoholic, if you're a compulsive eater, that that addiction takes precedence and becomes much more important than the person that's sitting across from you. You know, when I ate, I never lifted up my head. And today I want to be able to eat my meal in peace, not have to worry about talking, socializing, or whatnot, and we'll do that afterwards. And we'll take care of business the way we need to, and we'll go from there. And it's a good deal. I think I'm coming up close to the end of my 15 minutes here, but those are some thoughts on a Sunday here, and I appreciate the opportunity to be of service and the privilege of being asked to participate in this workshop, and look forward to hearing the rest of the panel, and we'll be on afterwards if anybody has any questions. Thank you very much for letting me share today.
Steve, would you like to leave your name, number, and time zone?
Sure. Again, it's Steve, and I'm a food inventory step maintenance sponsor. I'm in the Pacific time zone. My phone number is 562-708-9478. 562-708-9478. And always keep an opening. If there's any man out there that is looking for a sponsor, please feel free to give me a call. Thanks again for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Our fourth speaker is Jill T. She will be speaking on traveling abstinently and using technology. Jill, take it away. Jill, are you there? Just press star 6.
This is Jill. Can you all hear me, Judy?
Yes, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. I am grateful to be here, and I thank you, Judy, for leading this, and I thank for everyone who's spoken so far. There's so much I've learned as I listen. I entered CHAL on October 18th, 2006, and I have released 65 pounds. I'm a full-service sponsor, and I'm just still grateful after five-plus years to still be here and finding that every day of abstinence is a joy. And it doesn't mean that every day of abstinence is easy, but truly, after looking back at those 5 years, every day of abstinence is a joy because I don't have to use compulsive eating anymore to deal with my problems. I can use the 7 tools every day to deal with my problems. And each tool is really powerful for me at different times. The way I use technology, I thought it might be interesting since I believed that the other speakers would have lots of information on how they travel. Specifics on how they meal plan, et cetera. I have found that technology can help me with all of the different aspects of traveling. First off, I can stay in touch with my sponsor through my phone, and I have a smartphone. I don't know if everyone these days, they're becoming very popular, but most people do have a mobile phone. And that's important to be able to use our mobile phones to make our call to our sponsor and our call to other members in our program so that we can serve and that we can get the service that we need to stay abstinent. And as was mentioned earlier, Skype is a great tool if you have your computer or your smartphone or your iPad with you. You can Skype, and it's very cheap monthly fee. So a lot of these things that I've found are either no expense or very inexpensive. The next thing, besides my telephone to make my phone calls, is I need to food plan. And there are many different applications out there for meal planning. We can meal plan in different ways also. And I visited the sites of the meal planning apps, and a lot of them made you choose recipes from that app, and that's not going to work for me because when I'm traveling, I keep my food extremely simple, and it does not call for a recipe. It may call for a can of chicken or a can of green beans, but it's not going to call for a lot of different ingredients. So I found that using a journal application is easier for me than using a meal planning application. And the way journal applications work is that you can go and enter your meal plan in a Word type format where you just type out your meal plan, and then you can put it on a specific date so that you know what day you're on, and you can even check off that meal plan as you go through your day. The other nice thing about a journal application is that you can do your writing on that journal application. And the journal applications, all you have to do is search for them. I had a list of a couple that are really good. And I am looking through my notes. Okay, I'm not finding the journal applications right now, but if anyone wants to call me later, I have some nice journal applications. So I keep my menu plans with me on my iPhone in a journal application or in a Word document and access those on my iPhone. Now, other people know how to access those on their own devices. If I'm planning a trip, after I've made my meal plan, I decide, am I driving or am I flying for that trip? And I have to go about those trips in different ways. When I'm driving, first I go to my MapQuest or a navigator. AT&T makes a navigator that's free. There's also a Singapore Maps, that's Singapore Maps, and there's Google Maps. And so I'm going to map out my trip so that I can see what I will need along the way. If I'll have grocery stores, if I will need to carry items with me, if I will have appropriate restaurants. And then if I find that I have all of those, I make my plan, my meal plan from that. I decide where I'm going to be at the time of day that I need to have my meal, my breakfast, my lunch, or my dinner. And I decide where I'm going to eat at that location. If I don't have a location, I carry an emergency toolkit with me, and that's the basics of what I need. I bring canned chicken. I bring canned green beans. I bring canned fruit that's sugar-free. I bring cheese sticks, usually, and I bring Triscuits, and I hope people don't mind me mentioning the abstinent foods that I use, but these are the typical things that I keep in my car if I'm taking an auto trip so that I can have my complete abstinent meal anywhere I go. And my first sponsor taught me that, to always have my important ingredients with me so that I wasn't going to be caught anywhere without having what I need. If I'm on an airplane, I go about it differently. I meal plan for airports. I utilize the kiosk in the airport for a grilled chicken salad, and I use dressing, or if I haven't been able to find the abstinent dressing, I will just go without the dressing. I find my other products there that I need at the various places, and I get what I need. I go early to airports, and I get what I need at the airport because it's difficult to sometimes take them through the airport line, And then I have it in a bag with me. I carry a bag that I take and put that all in the bag for me. And I am able to have my abstinent meal with me and eat it at the proper time if I'm at an airport. When I'm traveling with an airport, I will either have someone picking me up or I'll have a car. And I'll have looked ahead of time using certain applications like Kayak is a good flight and hotel planning service. There's other services that list restaurants in the area. And one that I really like is Urban Spoon. And there's also Open Table where you can make reservations. There's Veg Out, which is for vegetarians and vegans. And these are all applications that you can put on your phone, and they will look at where you're located, and they will tell you what's around you so that you know what you can find. If you need a grocery store, it'll tell you about grocery stores. If you need a restaurant, it'll tell you about restaurants. And then I make phone calls to those restaurants, or I look online on my phone and look at their nutrition. So I don't hesitate to ask if I need to, although I do try to ask at times that are appropriate for not their busiest times. So I plan ahead. I don't do it at the last minute. Other applications that help me, besides the meal planning applications, are applications where I have found our literature. And one is our SeeHow website, and that's where I can find meetings. I can find the times of phone bridge meetings. I can find local meetings. I've gone to meetings in Colorado and different locations, and it's really fun to meet other people. I find literature there. I have downloaded to my iPhone the Big Book, and there is a really wonderful application on the iPhone and iPads called the 12-Step Companion, and it has the entire Big Book. It also has 12 steps, and you can it leads you through the 12 steps through prayers. And it has all the stories of the Big Book. It's a fabulous application. So I carry my literature with me all the time, and then I use my journal application to write. It is amazing that I can use this iPhone for every tool in the toolbox. I can sponsor with my iPhone. I can be sponsored with my iPhone. I can stay anonymous. I can serve myself with my menu planning on my iPhone. If I do have recipes, say I'm at a family home, my family all understands that I eat abstinently, and a lot of the cooking I do, I will do for myself, although I'm really lucky. My family, some of them are abstinent with me, and so I have a really easy time traveling to see my mother and my sister because I have a sister who's abstinent with me, and I have a daughter who's abstinent with me. So makes my family time easier, but it does take planning, and I don't take for granted that other people understand or need to provide my food for me. I'm always willing to make arrangements to provide my own food. I've really enjoyed talking with you all today, and it's getting close to my time to close now. I just want to review that I do use my technology, and I have a lot of applications. If anyone wants to call me, we can discuss applications if you're a traveler like I am. They can help you, but the one thing that they can't do is they can't make me willing every day. So I need to start the day taking my first three steps. I admit that my food and my life are unmanageable by me, and I do that gratefully. It's such a relief these days. I also then take the second step. I know that there's a higher power that wants to restore me that very day or that very minute to sanity, and I reach out for that higher power. It may be a phone call to a CHA member. It may be a phone call to my sponsor. It may be reading. It may be writing. But somehow I'm going to reach out and say that I know you're there. And then I move on and I surrender. And I surrender first thing in the morning, and then I surrender throughout the day because my will is really strong. And it gets out there and it says, okay, you can do this. But then I go, no, I don't want to go back to the misery I was in. I want to stay here, so I'm going to surrender. And after I take those steps, I also look in inventory and see if I need to take other steps because sometimes I've stepped on toes and I need to make an amends, and sometimes I need to reach out for others. And I need to see who else is suffering and what I can do for them. So we're really fortunate to have this CHA program. I'm really fortunate to have you all here today. And my name is Jill T. I'm in Oklahoma. That's Central Time. And my phone number is 405-826-0845. That's Jill T. Central Time Zone, 405-826-0845. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jill. It's great to hear about technology. Our fifth speaker is me, Judy Kay, and I'm going to be speaking today on traveling abstinently internationally with a group. Let me start by qualifying. I've been in the sister program I started in 1983. And when I was in that program, I have to say I slipped many times until I realized I really had a disease and that I was really a compulsive eater. So this program didn't come easily to me. I was very defiant. I didn't believe that I couldn't do it myself. And it took a lot of time in the program until I really, really got it. But I am very grateful. I never gave up, and today I've been abstinent since March 2nd, 2002, and I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I've lost 34 pounds, and I've maintained that. And I love this program with all my heart. About traveling internationally, I have to tell you about 10 years ago, I met my husband, and he's one of my promises coming true, and he's a musician. So every 2 years, he travels with a 40-piece symphonic community band. And I've been so blessed to go all over with him, Greece, Thailand, Norway, Iceland, Germany, Czech Republic, and this last year we went to Hungary and Croatia. I've also traveled to Australia and New Zealand. And the trips are usually 2 weeks long. I've learned so much about traveling abstinently, and I continue to learn new things on every trip. Every place is different. Some have been harder than others. But I've come up with some general principles before I start the trip that really help me in terms of my emotional and spiritual. And then I'll go into the physical. A lot of the speakers have talked about what they do physically, and I do all the things they do. So, these are my principles for traveling. Number one, I must know who I am when I go. And as I said, it took many slips for me to realize this is who I am. I am a compulsive eater no matter where I am. And I live a spiritual life of recovery. That is what I do. And I have to be very clear on that. There are no black and white. It is black and white. There's no if and ands. This is who I am. The second thing is I must ask for what I need wherever I go. And before the trips, there's usually a coordinator, and I let the person know I'm allergic to sugar and flour. Because when we go, we're traveling with 40 people, and they sometimes have banquets for the band members, and I need to request a special meal. And so that's really important. The third thing is, and this is just so crucial, it took many trips for me to get this, I must never compare myself to other people. Everyone on the trip is going to eat the way they choose to eat, but I must eat abstinently to live. Otherwise, this disease is going to kill me. So I am different. That's why I love our fellowship, because you know you're all like me, and it's okay to be different in out there in the world, because I've accepted my disease and I've accepted my recovery. And as clear as I can be on that, that leaves no room for that stinking thinking like, oh, I wish I could eat blah, blah, blah. You know, I have to be really, really clear about that. Now, the good thing about that is I have never had any stomach problems on any of the trips I've gone to because I'm eating abstinently. Many of the other people have gotten sick, and so it's kind of like God's brings back to me the idea that, you know what, I'm lucky that I'm abstinent. It's a wonderful, healthy way to live and to eat. Lastly on this first page, number four, my sponsor, who's wonderful, has helped me come up with a purpose for my trip, kind of a mission statement. So that takes my focus away from the food and onto how I want to serve while I'm on the trip. Now, these people are not compulsive eaters, but I've come up with three ways that I can serve. And this is what I wrote down before I went to Hungary and Croatia this summer. One was to listen to my fellow travelers with love and compassion. Two was to help them feel accepted. And three was every day to fill up with God's love and joy and share it with other people. And so when my focus is on that, I don't even want to eat compulsively. The other thing is, when in doubt, leave it out. In other words, if the food is not available, I do the best I can to eat abstinently, and then I give it to God and let it go. And my best story of this is when we went to Thailand. They had this big banquet for everyone, and I could not eat one thing. It was all pasta with sauces and et cetera, et cetera. And so I had a good time with the people, and when the meal was over, I said to my husband, now let's go and see if we can find a place for me to eat. And we walk out of the hotel, it was in Bangkok, around the corner, and what do we see there but a Burger King? And it was kind of like saying, God was saying to me, you see, I'll provide. Sometimes you have to wait, but just have faith. And I go in and I get my burger and my salad, and I was happy as a lark. So sometimes I have to be patient, or if it's not there, just let it go until the next meal. The other thing is come prepared. So before I leave, I always take a lot of dried things. I take my grains. I take, as been mentioned, soybeans for protein, dried tomatoes as a backup for vegetables. Usually I have found that customs does not allow cheese or meats. But you can go to the internet and you can Google the country you're visiting with /customs, and they'll tell you exactly what they'll allow into the country. But I've never had trouble with the dried items, as long as they're packaged. They won't accept them if I put them in my own Ziploc bags. I have to bring the entire package. Number seven is have faith that God will provide around the corner, and I mentioned that, like the Thailand story. And eight is take care of yourself. So I was on a bus trip once. We were going to Germany, and we were seated around people that were talking about addictive foods that I can't have. And they were talking about desserts and wines and obsessing. And I just realized I needed to move because I don't want to hear those conversations in my head. That is so dangerous. So I did. When we got on the bus the next time, I just moved with my husband to a different location. Once in the country, there are available food items in stores, and many people have mentioned this, so I won't go into it, but you can go into the stores. You can get cheese and vegetables and whole grain rice and corn cakes, and every country is different. I know in Croatia, they didn't have any grains that I could eat, so I had brought my grains for about a week, and the second week, I just went without grains, and that was okay. You know, I mean, I had a great time because I was abstinent and my attitude was good. The other thing on the group trips is the timing of the meals can be challenging. Like in Greece, dinner was after the concerts, which is 11 or 12 o'clock at night. So what I did is I ate my dinner at my usual dinner time, and then I sat with the band at their dinner time, and I just had tea and coffee and water. But I remembered to focus on my mission statement. I had fun with a group I was a part of. I listened with love and compassion, and I didn't even think about the food. As far as their bus tours, or sometimes on the bus, the band is transported from one place to another. And so I just don't know when they're going to stop for a meal. And if I don't know, what I do is I take a bag with the food I'll need on my abstinent timeline. And I try to stick to my breakfast, lunch, and dinner times. So while others are getting snacks, I'll have my abstinent lunch. And I remember when we were going from Bulgaria to Croatia, and they stopped the bus at customs. And we were there for more than an hour, having them check our passports. And everyone was starving, but I had my abstinent food. So, again, you know, it's important to feel lucky, fortunate, and grateful rather than a victim with this disease. A lot of people have talked about what they bring, and I just want to ditto everything. The only thing I can add is that because space is very limited, and on my trips, we're usually carrying the musical equipment like drums plus one bag. So I have a little big book and a little 12 and 12, and I make sure everything is small. I'll bring a meditation book with prayers, but I'll take the small version. I remember especially to fill my mind and heart with positives, so I pray a lot. I ask God for help and direction a lot, and I monitor my thoughts. When I notice that I have a negative thought, judgment, or comparison, once I become aware of it, I know it's very, very dangerous because those kinds of thoughts can lead me right into the food. I have to snap out of it as soon as I'm aware of it. And I remember page 84 in the big book, it says, when these crop up, and they list selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, we ask God at once to remove them. And that's what I do. As soon as I'm aware of those thoughts, I immediately ask God for help to remove them or change them. If I feel fear, I ask for courage. The answer for me is always my higher power. And it's along with my higher power, to me, it's gratitude, it's acceptance of other people, and it's appreciation of the beauty around me. Because when I focus on those things, the positive things, then I don't feel hungry at all. And miracles do happen and promises do come true when I stay in that surrendered place. The other thing is there are a lot of people on the trip that stay up late and, you know, they get quite out of balance. And I realize as a food addict, I must stay in balance. I cannot stay up real late and have the ability sometimes to just practice my program and all the things we need to do. So just for example, rather than go on a late night cruise one time, My husband and I went for a Thai massage, and we both felt great. So it's making the choices that are going to keep me in balance and in recovery. On my trips, I continue my daily spiritual discipline as much as is possible. I write down my food every day. I do a question a day. If I can't give it to my sponsor, I give it to God, or sometimes I'll give it to my husband. When we went to Australia and I was on a boat, I paid 40 cents every day for a stamp so that I could mail my food and questions to my sponsor. And it was certainly worth the money when I remembered what I could pay for food on a day I binged. Also, if you look up on the internet, they have a list of meetings all over the world. And when we went to Australia, I contacted the person in Sydney, and she actually came to my hotel and met me and took me on a bus to the CEA Howe meeting in Sydney. And it was wonderful. It was very exciting for me just to realize we have a worldwide fellowship. We're not alone. It's helped me through the years also to have service obligations waiting for me at home. That really keeps me connected, and I feel like my family's waiting for me, and I want my abstinence to stay strong so I can continue to do the service. I exercise whenever possible. In many countries, there's walking, there's hiking, there are forts to climb, and there's swimming, and so I try to do that whenever possible. I carry my program with me in my heart wherever I go, because our disease doesn't go away. And as a sponsor once told me, I don't do the program today, I am the program. I always have to remember that God is in charge no matter what, and I don't pick up no matter what. I love, as Janann says, I'm worth it. Thanks for letting me share. My name is Judy Kay. I'm in Mountain Time, and my phone number is 970-259-1815, 970-259-1815. Our sixth speaker is Nanette, and she will be speaking on traveling abstinently on a cruise. Nanette, are you there?
I'm right here, Judy. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Okay. Take it away.
Very good. Well, I so appreciate everything that's been mentioned. And so many of the principles are the same when we travel. It doesn't matter where we're traveling. If we're going to be gone from our home for a day, so many of these principles come into play. I'm Nanette. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I live in Orem, Utah, which is 40 miles south of Salt Lake City. My abstinence date is December 28th of 2008, so I have 2 years and 10 months and 11 days. Actually, it's December 26th. I don't know why I write. Anyway, it was the day after Christmas, and I actually started at dinner time. And it was funny. The first night I sat down to my first meal, my first abstinent meal, because I started at dinner. That's how desperate I was the day after Christmas. into my mind, I said to God, well, what if I go on a cruise? And honestly, I felt him say back to me, you're not on a cruise, so sit down and eat. And that's what I did, and that's what I did for many, many, many months before I did finally have the opportunity to go on a cruise. So first thing I want to share is that God knows where I am. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm on land or on sea, he knows where I am. And that's important in two ways. A, I can't hide from God. And B, I'm not ever out of range of his direction and his power and his ability to love me. Doesn't matter where I am on this earth. In preparation for my cruise, I did some of the things that have been mentioned. I called ahead. I actually have a list on my computer. And whenever I travel anywhere, I print it off. And it has my abstinent breakfast, everything I need for breakfast, everything I need for lunch, everything I need for dinner. And then it has vitamins, medicine, and supplies. Those are my three lists that I keep on this computer. And depending on where I'm going, I circle the things that I can actually take with me. And, you know, if I'm going to stay at my daughter's house and I'm driving to St. George, then I can, you know, I can take everything with me. If I'm going, anyway, you know, it varies what you can take. So I'll print this list out, and I will circle all the things that I can take with me. And that's what I took with me on this cruise. I took all the things that I knew I could take with me. Now, I wasn't aware you could get food on a plane, so I was kind of hungry on the airplane until I could get off and eat an abstinent meal. And that was okay. Now I know that I can take food. That's why these workshops are so helpful. You know, I'll know better next time. So that's great. Thank you for those of you who have shared about taking plane trips abstinently. So that's what I did. I picked things that I could take on this cruise with me, and they're all the things that have already been mentioned. I'm a vegetarian, so I made sure, I didn't know what kind of vegetarian choices there would be on the boat, and so I made sure I had vegetarian things with me that would work. I also, in addition to tools, my scale, I took a measuring cup, I took measuring spoons, I took paper and pen and literature. So food, tools to deal with my food, and then the tools that I needed for writing. And then I also took my attitude, and as has been mentioned, I really have had to, I heard somebody once share, just a young girl in recovery from alcohol addiction, she said, I had an addiction lifestyle, and now I have a recovery lifestyle, and I don't really know anything else. I don't know what all those other people do. For me, it's either an addiction lifestyle or a recovery lifestyle. There's not much, but there's nothing in between, really. In the past, when I've heard people talk about traveling and maybe they'll start their new diet after their trip, their attitude is kind of, I just want to really enjoy this trip and not be worried about food. Well, you know what? I'm always worried about food. I've been worried about food since I was 10 years old, and I've been worried about my body since I was 10 years old. No trip. I don't care if you flew me to the moon. I'd be worried about the food. So abstinent food and an abstinent lifestyle actually relieves me of tremendous worry and helps me actually enjoy the trip. Addiction never brings me real happiness, not ever, ever. So on the boat, I brought my addicted self, my addicted living in recovery self, and I also brought my powerful God with me on this boat. What I realized on a cruise is that absolutely everything is available. There is everything available there for me to absolutely live in addiction and even other addictions that I hadn't even thought of yet. But there's also everything available to help me live in recovery, everything. And the deal was that I had to choose. And, you know, my chooser was broken for many, many years. And I have to keep God with me in order to help me choose. And last night before I went to bed, I opened the journal that I wrote in while I was on the boat. And it was interesting because all my questions, I don't know where I was in the questions back then, but all the questions I answered had to do with choosing. One of the quotes was out of As Bill Sees It, page 4, choice is still available to us if we choose to make it available. You know, and that's what I did on the boat. I chose to make choice available. I didn't say, oh, I'm on a boat, too bad. You know, there's no situational sobriety and no situational God. You know, those two things are such powerful things for me to understand, and that God can give me the heart, might, mind, and strength. To me, that's what his power is. He can give me the desire, that's the heart. The might is the means. All the time I experienced him giving me these things over and over and over again on this cruise. The mind is the understanding, and the strength is the energy, and he never let me down. So practically, what did it look like to live in recovery on the boat? Somewhere in my notes last night, I had this written down. Serenity comes from doing my best to prepare and trusting God with all the details. And that is absolutely what I had to do. I had never been on a cruise in recovery, not ever. I had been on a cruise, and I had been on a cruise in recovery. I had never been on a cruise and been in Seahaw. Not ever. Not with this food plan. So, I was sufficiently I had huge respect for what God was asking me to do. You know what I mean? I had respect. Like you have respect for fire. He was asking me a little bit to walk through fire as far as going on a cruise and staying abstinent. I felt a lot of the need to be at my best game. You know what I mean? So I called ahead. So as far as the physical things I did, you know, I packed my bag. I took lots of little baggies with me, different size little baggies, because I, in my life at home, if I go to dinner, if I go to somebody's house, I take a lot of things with me. And so I need containers. So I took containers. I took little tiny baggies. I took the little bit bigger baggies. I took the great big baggies. I took something that I could put my own herb tea in and carry it around. I took some sweetener that I feel healthy about. You know, I took things like that with me. And I knew that I could eat at the buffet. I knew that in the buffet, they would have everything bad that I could ever eat, and as much of it as I wanted. But I also knew that in that buffet, they would have absolutely everything I needed. So I knew the buffet. I didn't know if I'd ever be able to eat in the dining room and visit with people. And, oh, that's what I wanted to do so badly. But I didn't know if that was going to work out. And so this cruise, and maybe it'll never work out again, but this cruise I knew that I could eat in the buffet every meal. So I did. Every morning for breakfast and for lunch, I weighed and measured everything, and I ate at the buffet. And I learned to truly open my mouth and ask questions. I asked those men and women that were standing behind the buffet line, does this have sugar? Does this have flour? Does this have sugar? Does this have flour? Every day, you know, I'd see something and I'd think, oh, that looks pretty good. That, maybe, you know, and then I'd send them back, no, that's made with sugar, so I wouldn't touch it. But I really inquired. I didn't, you know, pretend like it was better to ask for forgiveness than approval. You know what I mean? I was honest with myself. Sometimes I was willing not to eat. One of the hard things on a cruise is you can't take food off the boat. And maybe you can. Maybe some of you are going to tell me that there's a way that you can. That'd be nice to know. But I didn't think that I could. There were signs all over the place that said you couldn't. And one day in Costa Rica, the cruise I went on was a two-week cruise through the Panama Canal. So it was a long time to live in recovery on a boat. And as we traveled through Costa Rica, we were gone through the whole day, through particularly through lunch, and they were serving a buffet, and I just pretty much made up my mind that I wouldn't eat, and then I would eat when I got back on the boat. Well, miracle of miracles, the buffet was beautiful. It had all kinds of clean food. It was full of clean food on this buffet, and so I had no problem eating abstinently. One of the biggest miracles for me was that I had called ahead, and I had told them that I was on a special food plan, that I couldn't have sugar or flour, that my food had to be weighed and measured, and that I was a vegetarian. And they wrote back to me and said that they might be able to help me with some of that. And nothing was really for sure. But the maitre d', the first night that I was on the cruise, the maitre d' came to our table, and he said, I want you to come to me every night after you eat dinner. You come to me, and we will plan your next evening's meal. And I got to eat at the tables with people from all over the earth the whole time I was cruising. And he weighed and measured my food. And he made me the most, you know, he'd bring me a soup, and I'd say, I can't, you know, really, this mushroom soup has to just only have mushrooms and herbs in it. And he said, oh, it is, that's what it is. I mean, it was phenomenal. I was treated so kindly. I couldn't believe it. I don't trust that that'll happen every time. I think any time I go on a cruise, I need to just think, buffet, you might be at the buffet every night. This time, you know, God worked it out for me so that it was just phenomenal. I was able to exercise every day. I went to classes. I went to the pool. I walked around the deck. I listened to a book on tape. I was able to lift. I was able to look out at the ocean and walk on the treadmill. I took the stairs. I did new things. I went to a Zumba class. I did a cancer walk. So I kept active on this cruise, and it was wonderful. The other thing is that I know on any place I am, I'm not just physically hungry. I know that my soul has hunger. My soul gets hungry. That's a lot of what recovery is all about, is we're not just physically hungry. There's a hole inside of us that can only be filled by God. And God filled my soul on this ship. He fed my soul on this ship. I took time every day for prayer and meditation and for study and for writing. On one of the cruises I was on, it was so wonderful. There was a string quartet. When everybody was crazy and drunk at night and drunk on food and drunk on all kinds of things, my husband and I went and sat in a little room where there was a string quartet. And I took my literature and I took my notebook and he took a book and we just sat in there and just enjoyed this string quartet night after night after night. On the cruise that I was on this time, when I got on the boat, I looked on the schedule and it said Friends of Bill W. meeting. And I've been on three cruises. Two of them really have had a Friends of Bill W. meeting. One time I showed up at the place where it said the Friends of Bill W. meeting was meeting, and I got there and there were all these people from the South. I can't remember, were they from Oklahoma or someplace? And they all had a tag on that said Friends of Bill W. And I thought, man, there are a lot of recovering alcoholics on this boat. I mean, there were 100 people in this room. And finally I went up to somebody and I said, are all the people right here, are they all in recovery? And she said, heavens no, we're the Friends of Bill W. at station XQYZ. Anyway, it didn't work out so well on that boat, the Friends of Bill W. meeting. It was hilarious. But on this meeting, it was wonderful. And I went to a meeting, I think out of the 15 days we were gone, I went to a meeting 14 days with three alcoholic men. And we went through the steps, and they had total respect for me as a compulsive eater. I got to be friends with their wives, had a great experience with them, socially even, outside of the meetings. It was a wonderful, wonderful recovery experience. My husband and I went to church. They have ecumenical services on the boat. We went to church. And the blessings from traveling this way and having an abstinent cruise were that I really was able to see the beauty. I was able to live in gratitude. I came away with a greater desire. You're treated so well on a cruise. I just came home with a greater desire to love all the people in my life back at home. And I was able to receive messages that God had for me while I was on the cruise. I had a friend the other day, a lady in Al-Anon, and she said, people who practice self-care are the delight of the universe. You know, and when we're cruising, we're seeing the universe. When we travel, we're seeing the universe. If we want to be the delight of the universe, live in recovery. One of the things I had written at the very end of my notes last night says, when I choose well, I feel God smile. And that's really true for me. I just feel so at peace with my life, so at peace with my body, peace with my food. And that peace just sheds itself, spills itself out over my entire life. I'm so grateful for the opportunity that I had to travel. I don't really travel very often, but God has shown me that He is not a situational God. He will be there for me no matter what my circumstances are, that my environment does not matter, that He will bless me no matter what if I choose for Him to, if I invite Him to. And I thank you for letting me share today. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you so much, Nanette. Would you like to leave your name, number, and time zone?
My name is Nanette, N-A-N-N-E-T-T-E, and I live in Mountain Time in Utah, and my area code is 801, and my number is 224-3135, area code 801-224-3135.
Thank you so much for that inspirational share. And
much.
Now our seventh and last speaker is Lucille. She will be speaking on traveling abstinently internationally. Lucille, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Judy, and thank you.
Thank you. Take it away.
Thank you for this opportunity to share how I travel abstinently. I have been in program and abstinence since 2004. I am a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I have been maintaining a 40-pound weight loss. 7 years ago, I was all set to go on a vacation to Alaska, and it was recommended that I seek the advice of a member who traveled frequently, a woman I'll refer to as Jane. As someone fairly new to a weighed and measured lifestyle, I welcomed her sage advice. Boy, was I taken aback when Jane said, You need to cancel that trip. You have no business going on a vacation until you're abstinent 1 year. I was crushed. I thanked her, but I did not cancel my plans. Instead, I made more outreach calls, sought more information from members who learned to travel in abstinence. Today, I enjoy helping see how members prepare for an abstinent vacation. What was I told? Pack your commitment. Plan ahead. Make copies of your food plan and give it to anyone who will come in contact with your food. For example, the waiter, the chef, and fax a copy to your travel agent who will make sure it gets to the chef. Make sure you have a refrigerator. What did I add to this list? Prayer time. Speak to my sponsor. Listen to my sponsor's suggestions. Continue to work the tools. Bring program literature. Go to meetings if possible. Now, most of the time, I'm on a group tour, and it's very, very difficult. You get very little time to yourself, so the idea of going to meetings is difficult. So what I have learned to do is to download the workshops from the phone bridge and the convention, and I take them with me. I bring two scales and extra batteries, one digital and one manual. I have had problems in the past that the digital scale, for some reason, seems to go haywire, and it's even been with different digital scales. And so the manual is great to have. I bring and buy postcards to commit my food to my sponsor, and I exercise each day. When I prepare for travel, I make a list of the items I'll need so I don't forget. I limit the amount of clothing. I take multiple tops and only a few pairs of trousers. I hand wash and I use the laundering service. I pack no wrinkle clothes so I could fit more into a suitcase. I pack easy-to-carry protein, for example, tuna in foil pouches, the pre-measured ounce of cheese sticks, normally a 5-pound bag of petite carrots. I bring legal grains, a full loaf of the flour-free bread, a box of the Triscuits, a bag of the cereal, 2-pound bag of raisins, varying sizes of Ziploc sandwich bags. I bring normally a bag of our flour-free pasta, and I pre-measure that before I go out to give it to a waiter. And believe me, even in Italy, the land of pasta, the waiters are kind enough to take it and have it made in the back for you, and I just make sure that they're tipped well. I make sure at least 2 meals are in my carry-on luggage, and I bring my own meal on the plane. I've purchased a duffel bag that the end corner of the duffel bag actually is insulated so that my meals can stay good. I have like a little ice pack, and the meals are supposed to stay good up to 5 hours. I've never had that opportunity for 5 hours, but I'm glad that I found that bag. There's a travel hot pot that you can buy on Amazon to make some things in your hotel room. And the tours that I take, there's a tour director, and I let them know about my allergies. Normally, the first day, the orientation, they ask you to fill out a paper listing your allergies or any, concerns that you may have. And they've always been very respectful and accommodating. What does a typical day of travel look like for me in Europe? Well, upon awakening, it's prayer time, shower and groom. I weighed and measured breakfast at the hotel. Our tours usually include a complete breakfast, and I add our grain. I pack lunch in those Ziploc bags which I have in, I carry a like a collapsible bag, like a very light duffel bag, and in it I can bring all my needs for a day of travel. I read and write my See How assignment, and I continue this throughout my trip, just as if I was home. Whatever I was working on, I take it with me. On the bus, on my way to Sightsee, I listen to those downloaded workshops from the See How website. I also might listen to those downloaded workshops when I'm on a recumbent bike or on the treadmill. Sightseeing time is my exercise time. There's plenty of walking on these tours. And in my quiet time, if I'm resting on the bus or if I'm visiting a church, it might be time for meditation or extra prayer time. I have plenty to be thankful for. My lunch, I bring the protein in Ziploc bags. I buy a salad or a grilled vegetable dish, vegetable soup minus the starch. I may add my own vegetables if there's not enough. And I always, always carry extra food items with me each day to fill in what I cannot get. And I just carry enough for that day, so it's really not overly heavy. My dinner may be at the hotel or it may be on the road, and I usually have to supplement what I carry. I stick with what's familiar, clean grilled, skip gravies, order salads, and I have grilled vegetables. We've also rented condos in Europe, and the agenda is pretty much the same. I make breakfast in the condo, I pack our lunch for the road, and dinner may be out, and normally is out. After dinner, most of the hotels have computer service, and it's either free or very inexpensive. I do outreach emails. I write postcards to my sponsor. I share what I've done that day, and I commit my food. I bundle the cards, and when I get home, I mail them in one envelope. My sponsor tells me she loves getting the postcards. She feels like she's been there with me, and she gets to see the beautiful sights of Europe. I read more program literature, normally just a meditation. I assess my day. I thank God for his help and another abstinent day. If any changes had to be made throughout the day, I give it over to God, and I also make note of it in my postcard to my sponsor. In Europe, the vegetables on a meal plate are scarce. There are many fruits and vegetable stands along the day's trip. I also may take some of the vegetables, fruit or protein, from my breakfast meal. I put them in Ziploc bags for my day's journey. I've found the cherry tomatoes and the petite carrots are the easiest to carry. I add items to my supply, such as yogurt, cheese, dried meats, from local markets, all easily found throughout Europe. Here's an eye-opener. In Europe, I've yet to pick up a dried meat that has sugar. And yet, how many times in America are we finding that they're using sugar as a filler? On my most recent trip to Spain, which I've just come back, September 30, there were rice cakes and individual slices of flour-free bread in a wrapper with ingredients on the label. You can also get potatoes with almost any meal. And what I'd like to say is that from April to May, my husband and I went away for 25 days. We traveled throughout Europe, and we ended it with a transatlantic cruise back to New York. Throughout that time, I was so surprised to find how much of the foods were so easy to get everywhere we were going. And it wasn't, you know, I like I said, I always carry my food with me, but most often, I don't have to go into what I bring except for the vegetable portion of it. In Europe, it is not as easy as in the States to find the diet foods. Usually the only diet soda is Diet Cola. Artificial sweeteners are predominantly found in hotels or tourist areas, so I carry stevia from home. I also bring the non-caloric single powder pack from Switzerland, England, Spain, Portugal, and Africa. In each location of my meal, I did without. I prayed to Mahara Power. I spoke to myself and assured myself there was another abstinent meal coming. I've learned to focus on the location, the people, and the joy of the adventure. The emphasis is on my vacation and the person I'm with, usually one of my daughters or my husband. Each time I have come home abstinent and without weight gain. This has never happened to me pre-See-How. This is yet another blessing of the See-How way of life. My name is Lucille. My phone number is 845-291-3108. That's 845-291-3108. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucille. We really appreciate your service. And I want to thank all of our excellent panel members for their service. It was just wonderful. And now is the time for the question and answer period. We have about 15 minutes, so please remember to push star 6 when you wish to speak. When you're finished, push star 6 again to keep the line muted. Who would like to go first? If you have a specific person that you like to answer the question, then say so. Otherwise, I'll just field the questions. And just to know, Roberta had to leave early. I believe everyone else is still on the line. Just press star 6 if you have a question about traveling abstinently.
Hi, this is Sonia Sunshine.
Hi, Sonia.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. We did hear you, Sonia. We lost you. Are you still there? Sonia? All right, I guess we lost her for now. You can come back at any time. Anyone else have a question for one of the panelists about traveling abstinently?
This is Sonia in Southern California. I'm wondering if you can suggest certain restaurants and airports that you find are more likely to have abstinent meals.
All right, and do you want to address, we have panelists from all over the country. You want someone from California?
No, I travel around the country. I've been on the road for the last 2.5 months. So in terms of airports, are there certain restaurants that seem to be better to try to hit up for abstinent meals?
All right, who would like to answer that question? Well, you know, I can...
Judy, this is Janann. I would say a little bit about it.
Yes, go ahead, Janann.
I actually learned this from Jill, I think. But those kiosks that sell the to-go salads in airports that are in those clear plastic to-go containers, they almost always have either a Caesar or just a house salad with grilled chicken. And I found that they also have, in the little individual packets, they often have a canned salad dressing, usually canned Caesar or blue cheese, or most Caesar and blue cheese are legal. Anyway, I could usually find those and have been very successful with that, just almost every airport. I don't think there's a brand name, but just in those to-go salad areas.
Janann, we have an echo on the line, so if you're not speaking, just press star 6.
This is Jill, and I've had some experience with that. Am I echoing?
A little bit, but go ahead.
Is this better?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Jill?
Better, go ahead.
Okay. There are different restaurants at various airports. So what I've found is that the menu is usually standing at the beginning of the restaurant. Or I have researched that there's an app that you can use. It's called iFly, I and then capital F-L-Y. And it will tell you what restaurants you're going to find at every airport. And then you can plan around that. But a lot of times, if there's a sit-down restaurant, they will offer a grilled chicken salad. I've almost never had any sit-down restaurant that wouldn't. And then at the different other fast food restaurants, they will often put together for me a grilled chicken salad because they have chicken and they have salad. And I've asked them to make that for me before. The vegetables, getting enough vegetables can be a challenge. So I like to take some wheat germ with me and sprinkle wheat germ on if I need to. I can also take some carrots with me. But if I haven't been able to do that, I can buy two salads to get more of my 2 cups of vegetables, or I can go to one of the restaurants and ask them to saute or steam vegetables for me, leaving the butter off. That's what I've done. Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Who else has a question?
Judy Kay, hi, this is Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Oh, thank you for this wonderful workshop and all those who had a hand in it. I was able to get on when Nanette began, and I listened to the last one. May I have the two phone numbers, please? Nanette and I think Lucille.
Yes. Nanette, are you on the line? Would you like to give out your phone number again?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's area code 801-224-3135. That's right.
Thank you so much for your very encouraging talk. And now what about Lucille?
My number is 845-291-3108.
That's 845-291-3108. Thank you again, everyone, and thank you, Judy. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome, Jean. And Nanette is Mountain Time. Lucille is Eastern Time.
Okay. Thank you very much, and God bless you all. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too. Sonia, are you back on the line for your question? All right. Anyone else have a question for anyone on the panel about traveling?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, is there someone there?
Hi, it's Sonia Sunshine. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. This question's for Judy. I wanted to thank you, everyone, for your share and your service. It's been wonderful for me, and I do a lot of day trips, but I wanted to know with Europe, because I have a trip going there, if you can email your food, what is the significance for you, Judy, when you actually get the stamp and mail it? Do you mail it every day or every 3 days? Or
Well, I'll tell you, Judy K., Grateful Compulsive Eater, I don't often use my iPhone because it's very expensive for emailing. Now, if you're in a hotel for a while, sometimes they have computers there, but the kind of trips I go on, we arrive at night and we leave the next day. So that's why I don't use my computer. I don't know if Lucille would want to address that.
Well, I actually have emailed my food to my sponsor on some of the days, but my problem is that very often we're on such a jam-packed schedule because we're being escorted all over the place that sometimes I don't get to sit down to write my food and give it away, and I prefer to give it away. And also my sponsor likes the idea of getting the postcards. We started that way before it was so easy to get a computer at each hotel, and we've just kept it going all these years. So it's also, like I said, it's a joy that she enjoys seeing these different places. And by the time I come home, very often I have like 20 postcards to give her and chronological order, and she really enjoys it. And then we share the trip and the writings that I've been doing along the way, then we catch up on those by giving her maybe two or three a day to catch up on that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonia, for your question. We have
Judy.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is Jill T, and I just wanted to mention that if you do want to email and you're not on a strict schedule, there are a lot of times where there's internet cafes where you can email from. Thank you, and sorry for the noise.
All right, any other questions? We have time for maybe one
other. Yeah, hello. Hi, this is Edith.
Yes, Edith, go ahead.
I'd just like to actually add a comment because I travel a lot. Is that possible?
Sure. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Edith. I travel a lot. I just got back from 8 days, then home two and gone four more. So I tend to take my food with me wherever I go. And on the airplane, we can take, you know, any kind of food, not the liquid. So what I do is I make an oat bran muffin. I freeze them. Sometimes I take 8 or 9 of them because I might be gone for close to a couple of weeks. And they freeze well, and then I can take them in, you know, when I'm in a hotel or wherever I'm staying with my family or whatever, I can just heat it up and add a half of a protein to that. There are wheat germ crackers that actually it's easy. They stay for a long time. Actually, I don't know if they go bad at all, but I take those with me already pre-measured. I take roasted garbanzo beans that I got a recipe off of Dr. Oz, and I make them my way. I take packets of mayo, little bitty packets. They have the ingredient list right on the back of them. Or often what I do even more than that is I go one of the stores like Walmart or Target or something like that, and they have the little travel area where you can get soaps and deodorants and toothpaste and things like that, and they have these little small bottles. They're very small, and they're less than 3 ounces because they're made to travel. And I fill up 2-3 of them, however long I'm going to be gone, with my salad dressing, and I already have it. I take it on a plane with me. Two more things. One thing is I'll take my vegetables and I'll either have them raw and already weighed and measured, or like one of my sponsees said, steam them for just a little bit so that they're not terribly crunchy and all that. They're a little bit soft, and it makes them easy to eat rather fastly. And lastly, I want to add that I take ice packs that you put in the freezer, and any of my items that need to stay cold, like if it's some, you know, vegetables that I want them to stay cold, or my my oatmeal muffins or anything like that, or even my my salad dressing, then I'll pack it around with all of that. Plus, I'm on some medicine that I have to actually keep it iced. And I take that all in a little kind of duffel bag kind of thing on the plane with me. So I wanted to add that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Edith. I'm sorry there's not more time for questions, but we do have the numbers of all the people who shared. So if you have any more questions or comments, please feel free to call them. And I want to share with everyone, this will be on a recorded number, which is the same number as ours, but the last four number digits are different. So let me just say that. It's 712-432-1284. It's the same access code that we use, and they ask for a reference number, just put in pound. And that recording will be on for some time and also on the website. So in closing, let me thank everyone who shared, and again to all the panel members, thank you. I want to thank Carolyn for her service in recording the workshop. And remember, enjoy all your travels abstinently. As the Big Book tells us, we will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Let us all close with a serenity prayer. You can press *6 to unmute.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot
change.
Courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Thanks to everyone. And Carolyn, you can end the recording.